Midday Jazz and Justice. I'm Jared Ball, your host, here with you every Monday from 1 to 3 p.m. Let me ask you, you know, President Obama has made as his, well, I know what's popular, the popular way to say it would be his education czar, but I mean, his Secretary of Education is Arne Duncan, who is. Okay. Did we lose Dr. Moses? Okay, looks like we've lost Dr. Moses. Well, let me ask you both this before we step aside. The question I was going to ask Professor Moses, we'll try to get him back in just a moment, was about the new Secretary of Education, Arne Duncan, in President Obama's administration, who has no experience with teaching in a classroom, and who has already shown that in his experience in running the Chicago school system, that his goals are to privatize education, vouchers, to put military training into these schools, and so on and so forth. Has this issue in terms of organizing students, or particularly black students in black areas, been raised? And if so, what is its impact in terms of Obama's presidency and what it appears to be on organizing young people to take up these positions and to even ask for something such as the National Student Bill of Rights? Has there been any relationship, any impact from one to the other, or is this something that is so powerful that people are able to begin to mobilize around it without any overt support from those at the top?
I mean, honestly, with the discussions I've had with students, like, the national discussions doesn't really, you know, relate to what's going on in the classroom, because every year we hear about, you know, how many more cuts the schools are going to take, you know, this and that. So when you have students that has maggots in their corn, you know, they you can listen to the news all day talking about what's supposed to happen, what's going to happen, but we're just so used to this, you know, mistreatment and miseducation and poor conditions that when we talk about let's work nationally, let's build a list of rights that we need, you know, students are on board. You know, there's a lot of debate between different things, but overall, students is down, and we just got to continue to organize.
We got Dr. Moses back. Dr. Moses, what I was just asking Chris and Daya was about the Student National Bill of Rights that they're developing as an extension of the Baltimore Algebra Project. And I wanted to just ask you, given who Arne Duncan is and his relationship to the Chicago school system seemingly to be completely inconsistent with the goals of the Algebra Project in this Student Bill of Rights, if there was any, what thoughts you had regarding this issue?
So here's my main thought about the larger politics of education in the country. And it's that if you look at the movement in the 60s, we got a forward movement in public accommodation, in the right to vote, and in the national party structure itself. In other words, you got actual substantive changes in all those areas. And in the right to vote, you actually got a constitutional shift so that the federal government had to step in to say who was qualified to vote, because the issue of illiteracy in Louisiana and Mississippi, Alabama, you couldn't let the states continue to administer literacy tests, right? So now we didn't get that in education. And if you look at the Rodriguez court case in Texas, 1971, Mexican-Americans sued for equity, and it went all the way up to the Supreme Court. Thurgood Marshall was still on the court. And the Supreme Court said, in effect, that there's no substantive federal right to an education in this country, so you don't have standing to come before us and ask in the federal courts for relief. So what has happened now is that you have 45 cases in 45 different states, and of course the Baltimore Algebra Project has gotten off the ground around the case in Maryland, right? That has helped focus their energies, right? But So what we need in this country, I think, is a... We need to take the issue of public school education up to the level of the Constitution. We need to come to some understanding that across the couple of centuries of our history, we haven't been able to think of all the children in the country as children of the country, and to think that the country itself has an obligation for their education.
Dr. Moses,
go ahead.
I'm sorry, we got to step aside for a break here, a very important station break. If you can, we'd like to get you to stick around for a few more minutes. A lot of people want to, join the discussion by phone. If you have the time, we'd like to get you to hang out for the rest of, for a few more minutes. Is that possible? Okay, thank you very much. That's Dr. Bob Moses, founder of the Algebra Project. We're joined in the studio by Daya Allen and Chris Goodman of the Baltimore chapter of the Algebra Project, talking about mathematics, education, and political and social organization right here on Midday Jazz and Justice. I'm Jared Ball, your host, here with you every Monday from 1 to 3 p.m. and happy to be so on the Liberated Masses Medium.
Reparation.
Took your hand, raped your women, and I took your land. Put you in chains and made you work for free. How would you feel? What would you see? You inherited the wealth from slavery. We inherited the poverty.
Reparation.
Oh yeah. Oh, it's
reparation.
So now we struggle to remember.
Who am I?
Just who we was before this slavery. Ooh. Why my people can't get justice?
No peace.
But you gave it to the Jews and Japanese. We've got to be free.
Where we at, all over the globe. Gotta fight for the cause with your heart and soul. Each one, teach one, let the truth be told. In the streets, in the schools, so the youth can know. The seeds need land somewhere to grow. Ain't no limit what we can do. Uncle Sam gotta pay back what he owe. In Europe too.
We are living in an age of violence and revolution. We are living in an age where the angry cry of freedom rises from every quarter as the slave rises to challenge the enslaver for their brutal crimes of violence and oppression of our people. We are going to have justice. The masses of our people want relief from their misery. They want freedom and justice, and they want it now. We must protect ourselves. We must defend ourselves. My brothers and sisters,
The only justice we are going to get is the justice we take. Times are critical. We are facing a future wherein the streets shall become like rivers of blood. Let us be prepared.
Liberation.
We want payback for the labor and the wealth you stole. It's so much more than just money you owe. It's land, technology, diamonds, gold. An apology acknowledging the government's role. Like human cargo, we was bought and sold. Enslaved in bondage, body and soul. Picking cotton, mining coal. We worked the fields, we built the roads. 500 years, we bared the load. Nowhere to go, so far from home. Everything we built up, the master owned. Payback is what we want.
Reparations.
WPF. W89.3 FM Midday Jazz and Justice. I'm Jared Ball, your host, here with you every Monday from 1 to 3 p.m. The track Reparations featuring Taj from Stickman, one half of the group Dead Prez. We got a call off the air that was raising this issue. Just want to just make this point very quickly that this is the kind of hip hop that does not is forcibly kept off the air. As a caller mentioned on the air last hour, in reference to Chris's song that we played, Organize the Block. This kind of hip-hop is intentionally kept off the air, which is why WPFW is so important, and we try to work it in a little bit on this program, Midday Jazz and Justice. The stuff is being made, the thoughts are being offered, it's quality, obviously it's talent, there's a lot of talent there, it's well put together, well produced, it has nothing to do with anything other than the politics. Censorship is political, not linguistic, is another point we try to make as often as possible. Censorship is political, not linguistic. We're joined this afternoon by members of the Algebra Project. Its founder, Dr. Bob Moses, is joining us by phone. Two members of the Baltimore chapter are in the house, Daya Allen and Chris Goodman. So we welcome them all back to the program. But I want to give this caller, who's been waiting very patiently, an opportunity to raise their comment. So thank you, caller. Welcome to the air on WPFW with your comment or question.
Yes. I'd just like to say to the youth on your panel, I'm a physician, by the way, and I have a background in science. And just to emphasize that you just continue doing what you're doing and don't accept less than excellent. And so demanding that your school has laptops, when they do the cutbacks and so forth, organizing, facing resistance to that, you know, continue to just be very tenacious and not having your rights abused. And speaking of rights, one of the things in this whole process of, you know, getting a knowledge of mathematics, et cetera, also to coordinate in there where you all know what your rights are. Because if you don't know what your rights are, that's very often how the system can work to manipulate you. So also spend a lot of effort in learning the local laws, the Bill of Rights, the Constitution, federal and state laws. Spend a little time on that too. But that's also very, very critical because the system will take advantage of your ignorance. So you spend all your time, like I said, what you all to me appear to be doing is striving for excellence. And don't get caught up in the idiocy of someone being willfully ignorant, because in a society, a lot of times that's promoted. All ignorance right. is promoted.
All right. Thank you very much for that comment. Dr. Moses, excuse me, welcome back to the program. This is something that, I think is a nice, that goes well with what it is we're talking about this afternoon. Dr. King and many others had often made the point that we have a right to bear arms, we now have a right to vote, but we don't have a right to a quality education, we don't have a right to a decent, to an exit from poverty and decent housing. If you could, talk a little bit about, if you maybe come back to that point that you all were raising in terms of what is the goal of the National Student Bill of Rights, and even if what is it that you describe in your 2001 book, Radical Equations, Civil Rights from Mississippi to the Algebra Project?
Well, the Algebra Project itself is really focused on the idea of a constitutional amendment. It's the students in the Algebra Project and the Baltimore Algebra Project which are pushing their own view of what a quality public school education entails, right? And so I think that's something that they have to really articulate and put out there and push. The project itself through the national office is pushing the idea that we need to have a national conversation about a constitutional amendment, which says in effect that every child, at the level of the Constitution, every child is entitled to a quality public school education. So, so funding can be equalized across the country. And there's no way to equalize the discrepancies because the biggest discrepancies are not within states, they're between states. And so the money for education has also got to flow from the federal government.
All right, well, let's ask, and of course we're opening the phones to those who want to join the conversation, 202-588-0893, 202-588-0893. Daya and Chris, let's talk a little bit more about what Dr. Moses is saying here, that you all are the ones who have to develop this push. You have an outlined Student National Bill of Rights. If you could just, again, quickly summarize what that is, and then let's extend the conversation into how we're going to actually bring this about.
Right, so we got the concept of this National Student Bill of Rights while we was in Houston over the summer, which is, you know, a short period of time from now. And it was at the Free Minds, Free People conference. I know a lot of people are familiar with that. So there were groups from all around the country. And there were some students from Chicago and Oakland that were talking about this, the Student Bill of Rights, Student Bill of Rights. So we had the opportunity to gather as many youth that were there together one evening and talk about, look, how can we work on something together and push it and come back at the U.S. Social Forum this upcoming summer, and then the year after that at the next Free Minds, Free People, which is going to be in D.C., you know, and start building this national campaign. So right now we took that from Houston and started talking to students in Baltimore about what are the rights we need. What can we put on this bill? And that's how we drafted this petition, and we took it to the school board last week, basically took that over, and we're building that conversation because it's all about getting as many students together to talk about these things, put it in writing, and begin to fight for it.
WPFW 89.3 FM, Midday Jazz and Justice, talking a little bit about the Student National Bill of Rights and the Algebra Project with its founder, Dr. Bob Moses, and two members of the Baltimore chapter, Daya Allen and Chris Goodman. You have a lot of, you know, really wild craziness, again, as I mentioned before, on it, you know, like, I mean, it's ridiculous. Students don't have to wear uniforms. Now, we've heard a lot of debate in this city about that. Should students, you know, wearing uniforms help stem violence and competition over clothing and things like that? I mean, I could hear a big fuss even coming from within the community on that one. Maybe we could hear you address that one in particular.
I know earlier you said, like, you mentioned, like, the police cannot occupy schools and no metal detectors. But this how we as students feel, and this is just not me or Chris. It's a whole variety and a huge amount of students who feel as though this shouldn't be in your schools. If we was raised as middle school or high school students to come in a unified way, we all wear the same, we have bars on the windows, we have to ask to do this and ask to do that, that's building up our mentality and preparing us for what, jail, and we feel as though that's not right at all. The issue of no uniforms, that's really debatable. Some people may say, oh, the students wear uniform for a safety issue, or If we know what everybody have on, we can spot an intruder or a trespasser coming into school, but that's really not true. I went to an all-girls school, Western, where we wear uniforms, and not saying that people came in our school, but it's easy for someone else to put on the same colors or the uniforms and do the same thing. But, and then also someone can decide, like, well, we need freedom of speech, and we can do that and wear uniforms, or I mean, wear what we want, and we need our own individuality. But
And we know that there are limits on that, too. There was that HBO documentary on free speech that ran not too long ago where a student was banned from wearing anti-gay things on his shirt. And whether or not we agree with that, it's obvious that there are you know, criticism of this level of free speech in terms of clothing, that there are certain things you still couldn't wear. You know, we've heard in other schools, you know, you can't wear gang-related insignia or even colors. So there is a limit to that, even though for those who would want to say we have free speech by wearing whatever we want. So I hear your point. You know, this other issue you have in here, I mean, is it really necessary to have a clean and functional restroom? I mean, to go to school? I mean, I don't understand that. I mean, we've had people who've gone to school in horrific conditions. Why do you have to have in 2009 a functioning and clean bathroom to learn? I mean, shouldn't you, as Oprah Winfrey has said, get over your need for gadgets and toys and appreciate the free education that we have? And Dr. Moses, feel free to chime in on this as well. Actually, that was something I wanted to ask you about. I mean, Oprah Winfrey did say, I'm no longer going into black schools because they don't appreciate the free education they have and they're more interested in their iPods and clothing and all this other stuff. How do you all respond to that? I mean,
well, the issue is that, you know, there's certain conditions that the schools are supposed to be in. There's a level of education that's required that's already on the books, and that's not being followed already. Like, the health code violations are ridiculous. The schools are falling apart. And you can't expect students to be happy with that and excel the way that they should when everything around them is falling apart and they're being treated in a way that they're not welcomed in school. So when you live in the richest state in the country, Maryland, and you don't have soap in your restroom, and the governor's going around saying we're the number one, we have the best public school system in the country, you know, that's ridiculous. You know, the resources are here, the need is here, and we just need to figure out how to bring it here.
Not to mention, we hear all the time with all these flu viruses and stuff going around how important it is to wash your hands, you know. Caller, thanks for your patience. Welcome to here on WPFW, Midday Jazz and Justice. Thanks for your patience. Welcome.
Hey, how are you today, Jared?
As well as could be expected.
Hey, I'd like you to tell your guests I'm enjoying the show and just sitting back. And I just had two quick things. I did a lot of volunteer work, and I found that, like your guests, the students that I dealt with, teaching math primarily, math and science, were very long on their rights. I would like them to speak some about their responsibilities. That's what I think is falling short. And also another thing that brought me into volunteering. In the 80s, there was a thing about, you know, why can't little Mo read? Okay? You know, why can't Johnny read? Well, I discovered why little Johnny can't read. And it's because little Johnny isn't reading. That's all I'll say. You have a nice day. Love your show.
Thank you very much.
Listen to you off there.
All right. Thanks a lot. One more caller before we get one more quick break, and then we'll let our guests respond with their concluding comments. Caller, thanks and welcome to the air.
Yes. Thank you, Dr. Ball, for taking on this most touchy situation and your guest. Thank you for having the courage to come on. It's amazing. I'm 57 years old, and I remember going to my elementary school in my community. And we had to galvanize ourselves and be able to build something halfway decent back then. Then they moved us from my elementary school into Pimlico Elementary to an all-white school, but they put us in portables because they didn't want us to be in the same school with white kids, and they didn't want us to be out there on the playground. So think about what that did to us psychologically. I had to leave my neighborhood where I could walk to school and be safe to go in a white neighborhood where I was threatened by white supremacists every day. So, and you know what? And it's amazing how you still fighting the same thing after all these years. I was in the first grade in kindergarten, and we go, you know, kindergarten, first grade, and now here I am again, 57 years later, listening to the same thing that was going on then. And they talking about, we in a post-racial era. We have arrived. You got to be kidding.
Thank you very much. We'll be back in one quick moment with the wrap-up and concluding comments from our wonderful guests, Dr. Bob Moses, Daya Allen, and Chris Goodman of the Baltimore Algebra Project. Don't go anywhere. This is Midday Jazz and Justice. More importantly, this is the liberated masses medium of WPFW 89.3 FM. Peace. Fellas!
Coons, Ren Gap, white flight to white landing. Doomed iron booms. Hood swept green, white trash tools. Upgrade city, poor kids swooning. Schools glooming.
learn it ain't fixed for them. Fenced in an upper class tomb.
Attention all waiters and crooks. Cooks, look alive, big smiles and jive. A piece of your land will go good with a milkshake. Fries and downsize, economic apple pies. Slice the neighborhood, baseball stadiums, money bags, brown wood, price tags sound good. DC government condos for canned goods.
Fellas.
Section 8, one question. Who lives where after general election? Those with complexions for housing protection.
When will you tell me where home is? Autonomy names himself and claims his purpose so he can court Lady Freedom, because he cannot buy her or grow strong without her gifts. His gendered dreams ruled by lust for commerce. The frontiers transfer from isolation. He's surprised progress doesn't look like it does in their theories. Lady Freedom asked the chicken. She wondered, when did I become expendable? And the chicken answered, right after they changed the packaging. I guess your lust for class is stronger than my diaspora dreams.
Gentrified Chicken, the Cornel West Theory. The album is Second Rome, came out in 2009. Welcome back to Midday Jazz and Justice. We're getting ready to wrap up last few minutes of the show with our guests from the Baltimore Algebra Project, Daya Allen and Chris Goodman, and our special guest by phone, Dr. Bob Moses, the founder of the Algebra Project. I just love that line. The sister says, your lust for class is stronger than my diaspora dreams. We only have a few minutes left, but I want to let all of our wonderful guests take a few minutes to respond and give their concluding thoughts. Dr. Moses, let me start with you if I can. We heard a number of things raised about the continuity of problems from busing and so on and so forth to the problems being addressed or attempted to be addressed by the Student Bill of Rights. And anything else that you want to respond to in your concluding statements? And again, thank you for joining us this afternoon.
Sure. The last two callers, I'd like to kind of join their comments together under a concept of earning an insurgency. We need an insurgency in this country. The young people will certainly have to lead it around education, but they will have to earn it. And certainly the young people in the Baltimore Algebra Project have earned the right to talk about a Student Bill of Rights because they took care of their responsibilities in terms of their own education and also trying to foster the education of their fellow students. And in the Algebra Project right now, we'll have about close to 800 students across the country this year who, as ninth graders, are stepping up to say that they will be willing to do math. This the caller talked about, you're not reading because you're not reading. Well, you have to do math to do math. And so they have stepped up to say they will do it every day, 90 minutes a day, for all 4 years of their high school. And these are kids who are at the bottom, the kids for whom the school system isn't currently working. So we need an insurgency, but the kids are going to have to earn it. But they will need the support of the country's adults.
No doubt. And thank you very much, Dr. Moses. I appreciate you taking the time this afternoon. Much love to you and your family and for your work, both past and present. And we look to get you back on the program in the not-too-distant future. Again, thank you very much for joining us this afternoon and for all your work.
Take care.
All right. Well, you heard the call, Chris, Daya, in your last few statements. How are we going to build this insurgency?
Well, right now we need to understand that we're in a state where our government has failed us, our school system has failed us. And if we, you know, you're turning around, you look and see who is there with you. You only have, you know, your classmates, your family, your peers there with you. And it's going to take a strong movement, you know, to really see the society that we need, that we dream of, where we have quality education. And it's going to be a very tough struggle. There's going to be people that don't want you to have, you know, a laptop in front of you every day like a lot of students in this country have, you know, who don't want to have toilet paper in your restrooms because there's a lot of students who have toilet paper, you know, and free public transportation. The students just won a huge multi-year campaign over in Brazil, the capital Brasilia, for free public transportation, and they won that. Just last year, we in Baltimore, we extended the bus tickets to 8 o'clock. So what we need is to get students to start thinking about what rights we need and, you know, which ways we can tackle it on a local level and do it across the country.
All right. Daya, any last thoughts?
Yes, I remember one caller said that what is our responsibility? And me personally, I feel as though my responsibility is just advocating. That's what I am. I'm a Baltimore advocate, and I advocate for youth justice and change. And like me, before I got involved in the Algebra Project, I felt as though nothing was really wrong with the school system. I went to a good school. I felt as though I had everything that I deserved, basically. But I think that's, we need to stop that. A lot of young people are ignorant to the fact that injustice is still going on. So I feel as though it was my responsibility, like Chris said, is to build up this youth movement and to get more young people involved and just educate them and teach them that it's a lot of things that's wrong, and we can make a difference, and we can have a voice, and we can make change.
All right. Thank you very much. I want to thank you both very much for joining us this afternoon. For more information on all that you heard this afternoon, check us out online at voxunion.com, V as in voice, O, X as in Malcolm, union.com. And don't forget the algebraproject.org or algebraproject.org, and we'll link to that at Vox Union as well. And as you're going to hear from Fred Hampton in just a moment, to you we say peace if you're willing to fight for it. Thanks to the Algebra Project and everybody for listening. Back next week. See you later. Peace.
And if you think about me, then you ain't gonna do no revolutionary action. Forget about me. I don't want myself on your mind if you're not gonna work for the people.
You have to understand that people have to pay the price for peace. If you dare to struggle, you dare to win. If you dare not to struggle, then goddamn it, you don't deserve to win. Let me say peace to you if you're willing to fight for it. Let me say it in the spirit of liberation. Why don't you live for the people? Why don't you struggle for the people? Why don't you die for the people?